WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome. You are listening to the student section on WVUA 90.7 The Capstone. I'm your host, Jalen Brooks, and I'm back here with my co-host, Connor Rolls. How are you doing, Connor?
Hello, hello, hello. You know by now I'm doing quite swell.
Oh, there's that classic line. It's been quite some time since we've heard it, but it feels good to be back in here. And not only that, we have a change coming to our little student section here. We're proud to introduce our new co-host, Sawyer Daly. Sawyer, how are you doing?
Good, I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good, man. So I know that you're here, you're new to the student section, but why don't we just go ahead and break the ice and let's tell the crowd like a little bit about yourself. We're here on the student section NBA, so why don't we just start with your favorite NBA team?
My favorite team is definitely the Celtics.
Oh, okay. All right.
Big Boston fan, and I know I'm sitting with two 76ers fans.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's all right. I actually have a lot of family from Philadelphia.
Okay.
I'm a big Eagles fan.
Wild to me. Yeah. Wild.
So you
but
choose
okay.
the Celtics? All right. What made you choose the Celtics?
I was tired of losing. I couldn't handle it.
Well, like, that's understandable. Okay, so part of me understands right, that. Yeah. But then at the same time, it's like you're going over to like the biggest rivalry.
Yeah, like
it was the closest team to him.
I get that, but at the same time, it's just like it's like Javon Hargrave flipping to the 49ers.
Yeah, it's like Terrell Owens going from the Cowboys to the Eagles.
It's I understand it though. Like it's weird.
Or the Eagles to the Cowboys.
I'm conflicted by it. It's like I get it.
I get the decision, but at the same time, the outcome is not where I want it to be.
It's kind of like I imagine it's kind of like the Trailblazers fan. Like Dame, like he wants out. It's like okay, we get it. You want out, but Miami, like out of all
right,
the teams,
right.
Miami. Well, that's cool. Okay. So are you a freshman here at the University of Alabama?
I am a freshman. I'm actually 17. I graduated a year early.
Okay,
oh, wow.
Cool,
okay.
Cool.
That's really impressive. So, dude, welcome. I know this is your first time, so we're going to ease you into this a little bit. And I think we're going to go ahead and start with our first topic of the day. We're going to get into our contenders and pretenders. Me and Connor, we kind of do this every couple weeks throughout the season.
Yeah.
Like I would say. And so we like to do a preseason kind of ranking. And right now we're going to go ahead and list – doesn't matter what side. It could be from the East or the West. Just give me a contender and pretender. Connor, do you want to start us off?
Yeah, I'll start off. So my contender for next year, it's kind of out of the blue, kind of like the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Oh, that's your contender?
I think so, yeah. I don't want to go like the normal like Celtics, Bucks, stuff like that. I want to go kind of like different, but – I like what they're doing right now. I think they have a good coach and Bickerstaff. I think Jarrett Allen, Mobley, Mitchell, Garland, they're all going to take steps because they're all so young. And I like what they added with George Niang. I like what they added with Max Strus. I think they added a lot of good talent to that roster. And I think just as they grow up together, they're going to develop and they're going to become a better team. And I think give them a couple years and they'll be in the hunt for a title.
That last playoff series, it doesn't worry you at all against the Knicks?
Of course it does. It's the Knicks. I mean, Julius Randle can't go right, but I think the development is what matters. You know, you look at the Nuggets. The Nuggets have been bounced out the playoffs for the first two rounds back-to-back-to-back-to-back years, and they finally, you know, just flipped a switch. They got everyone. They just kept the core together. And
same with the
it
Warriors.
Worked out. Yeah, exactly.
So Celtics, you can make the case for as well. They're not there yet, but the core has been pretty good.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying with the Cavs. They're all very young. They all got the right pieces around them. I think the more they can grow together, the more successful they will end up being.
No, and I get that. I'm a little worried about the Jared Allen and Evan Mobley and
they coexist. The offensive side of the ball, like the spacing and everything, it's a little worrisome. But at the same time, I think them Twin Towers are just like you can't really do anything in the paint against them, especially with Evan Mobley.
He's a beast.
I think he'll be a defensive player of the year candidate for many, many years to come.
I don't think you're wrong with that. It would shock me if he doesn't win at least one time. Do you want to give us your pretender, or should we keep going with contenders?
We can just keep going.
Keep going with the contenders?
Yeah.
Sawyer, let's hear it. Who's your contender?
It's not going to be a surprise, but I got the Suns.
All right.
Wow. Okay. Wow. Okay.
I do, and I'm even going to go as far to say they're going over 600.
Wow. All right.
Okay.
So why do you think that? Tell us why. What's making you feel that way?
With the addition of KD,
right?
A little bit later, I think they have enough chemistry now. I think they have a good GM behind them, a good coach behind them. Bradley Beal.
That's a big, big offseason signing.
Ayton.
You don't like that offseason signing? Well, Ayton, I'm also iffy on. But I get it. I like what you're saying.
Bradley I think Bill, they can play off of each other.
I do, too. I will say that. But I'm a little nervous because I feel like Chris Paul was like kind of like the DeAndre Ayton whisperer. And now that he's gone, I don't know how I feel about it.
Yeah. I have a lot to say ahead of time, so I'm going to just leave it for that. So we can just keep going.
It's a little foreshadowing. Okay.
It's a little foreshadowing.
Okay. So how do you feel about, like, the Suns' depth? Like, are you worried about that at all? Because coming into last year, after they made that trade, they gave up so much. Does that depth worry you at all?
I think that, if you get behind the starting five, maybe it's a little bit rocky.
I can definitely see that happening. But like you said, they have a three-headed now monster, or could be four, technically, seeing how DeAndre Ayton develops. Right. See, I like the Suns, but they're my question mark of this year. I won't lie. But for my contender, I'm actually going to go with a team that's, it's up there. You know, they lost in the Western Conference Finals. But the Lakers, I really like what the Lakers did this offseason. I mean, Anthony Davis agrees to an extension if he can stay healthy. We saw how – it's so funny how Anthony Davis can just get injured and not be on the court, but then he'll come back in the playoffs and be like a defensive,
every other game,
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not very consistent.
Yeah, you're right. It's not like Jaren Jackson Jr., like who fouls out and like has a great game and then fouls out. But he's same kind of like boat right there. But I think Roy Hachimura, I can't say his name,
Hachimura.
Yes, that. That is how you say it. I'm not going to try that. But I like that he agreed back on a three-year deal. Jackson Hayes comes over from the Pelicans. I think that's like just gives them another extra big just to give them some rebounding. I think that's one thing they struggled with last year in the postseason. Torian Prince is actually a low-key, like a Jay Crowder type, like P.J. Tucker type that I think is going to be huge for this team.
Yeah.
Like not big minutes, but
just like
a big role energizer.
Yeah, like, you know, the energizer player you can plug in and then – if something happens, he can get chippy and he can do his thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Hustle like player.
Exactly. And then Austin Reeves, I love what he's been doing overseas, just balling. The highlights you see, I love like the fan reception that he gets overseas. That's really cool to watch. But yeah, I'm up on Austin Reeves. He's him, if you remember him Timothy. Saying that.
Yeah, okay. So do you want to go to pretenders now, right?
Yeah.
So my pretender, it's the Phoenix Suns, actually.
Really?
Really.
Okay.
So we've seen the last couple years, the Suns loaded with starting talent. Kevin Durant, Paul George. Well, they got Kevin Durant, last year or something like that? Kevin Durant, Paul George, Devin Booker, DeAndre, and the list goes on and on and on. Every time, how many games did they play together? All the whole core. Not many. Everyone's either injured. And they add Bradley Beal, who only played, 60 games last year? Yeah. And he's had troubles with injury, and he's getting up there with age. I think there's a chance they can actually be good, but that bench is worrisome. I'm not a big fan of Frank Vogel. I think he got carried by the roster with the Lakers. I really do, in the bubble. So I want to say they have the opportunity to actually do something this year, but Kevin Durant's always injured.
Yeah.
Bradley Beal is always injured. Devin Booker, I think, is a great player, but at the same time, like, how much can you do by yourself?
That is true.
DeAndre Ayton is soft. We all know DeAndre Ayton is soft.
I'm not gonna say that, but he's definitely not living up to his potential.
No, he's not. And then you look at the bench. The bench. Let me pull this up real quick. I mean, you have Yuta Watanabe, T.J. Warren, Ish Wainwright, Terrence Ross, Josh Okogie, Damian Lee, Drew Eubanks, Torrey Craig, Bol Bol, Bismack Biyombo. I mean,
decent names.
Half of these names are over 30 years old.
Yeah.
You can't really expect them to be like...
And the other half doesn't have like a lot of, you know, playoff experience.
Yeah. So they're either very, very young, very raw, or just extremely old, and maybe in a couple of years they'll be on a walker. So
I think there's a couple... I think Damian Lee is a good pick.
I think Damian... Like, don't get me wrong. They're so... I like Drew Eubanks. I like Damian Lee. I like
TJ Warren can stay healthy.
Yeah, if TJ Warren can stay healthy,
that's another to add to your concern.
I think Yuta Watanabe is a good like catch and shoot in the corner.
I love that guy.
The poster boy. He's gotten dunked on by everybody, hasn't he?
Yeah, but you gotta love the effort.
Yeah, you gotta love the effort. But
I think he said that one time on a quote. He's just like, you know what? I'm fine with it. Like, I'm going for everything. So you know, to that gets all my respect. But I see what you're saying.
Yeah, there's a lot of potential, but it's all they can actually just stay on the court.
Yeah. And I get that, and that's were you surprised at all by the Bradley Beal trade going to Phoenix?
Like, I was very surprised because I didn't think they needed it.
Okay.
And I think they gave up a lot to get Bradley Beal. Mm-hmm. And because they already gave up a crap ton of stuff for Kevin Durant, so I was like, there's no way they're getting Bradley Beal. And then
I'm surprised they pulled that off.
They just keep digging.
You think it's going to be one of those ownerships? Like I feel like the Phoenix Suns' new owner, like, I'm glad, like what's that guy's name? Was it Mr. Sawyer? Not Robert Sawyer or, like, something, wasn't it? Like, I think it was something like that. I don't remember the owner's name.
The old owner?
Yeah.
Robert Sarver.
Sarver.
That's Sarver.
Okay. I didn't know if I was just like replacing your name with his. I was like, oh gosh. But yeah, no. I think this new owner, the one that got in the shoving match with Nikola Jokic in the postseason.
Yeah.
I think that guy kind of reminds me of like a David Tepper of the Panthers, just willing to just keep spending.
Yeah.
Like, and like doing anything for like. You know, get the big name player. Just
yeah, it's great when you can do that with money, but at the same time, you could turn into the Los Angeles Rams and trade everything away and have no future once all your old players retire.
Or the Clippers.
Yeah. So yeah, it's a lot of give and take. I would rather what the Thunder are doing, picking up the young players, drafting the young players,
and they're already looking so good. Like,
yeah,
like Shai, he's looking amazing. Josh Giddey is one of my favorite players in the NBA, on and off the court. I think that dude's a baller. And then Jalen Williams was impressive last year. I think he doesn't get enough credit. Mm-hmm. And the other Jalen Williams, like, even though
both of them.
Yeah, even though he was a like more of a role player and defender type role, I think what he does on the court is underrated. He kind of reminds me of like a Marcus Smart in like some way, you know, just does the hustle plays and stuff like that.
Somewhat. I don't think he's as like physical and chippy.
But that energizer.
Yeah, the energizer.
Mm-hmm. And then so Sawyer, what about your pretender? Or do you have like a response to like what Connor's saying, or can you kind of see where he's coming from?
No, I get it. Yeah. I do. I think it's going to be one of those, like with the Rams situation, it's going to be one of those pushes.
Yeah.
They're older, but I think that you could make the case that they're going to really push. I feel like Booker and KD are going to have a lot of really good chemistry.
Yeah. I think they'll have a good two man. I just, everybody else. It's not
I really
just a
like
two players. Bol Bol
in there too.
Bol Bol.
I feel like he's never truly gotten an opportunity, but also at the same time, I feel like it has to be a reason for that.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
if he can't play on Orlando, I don't know what you're doing. But
well, yeah. Yeah. That's a fair point. But yeah. So, who's your pretender?
I have the Nets at pretender.
Okay. And just because you don't not enough weapons or like, what's the
feeling? I think Ben Simmons is never going to be the same again after his back.
Have you seen his? He's shooting shots in the gym.
And you know what? I think
he has off-season footage of him doing something.
He's shooting jump shots. I swear.
When's the last time we've seen this?
That's actually what I have wrote here. You know, they're advertising this as his big comeback. He's going to make a big push here with this team. He's going to lead it. I think that. Right. I think 12 games in, he's going to be out.
Yeah, probably. I mean, if he wants to do it, I think he could, but I don't think he's really there mentally. I think he wants to be more of a celebrity than an actual NBA player. So,
see, here's the thing. I completely agree where you guys are coming from, and I agree with what the Nets are doing, like trying to sell this because they were trying to trade him.
Right.
Absolutely, like by the end of last year. But something tells me Ben Simmons, I feel like he's not wanting to just take a lot of heat and not do anything about it.
Yeah.
So I feel like he's going to come out swinging.
I think there is a fire under him this year where I think we actually might see something. So I'm not going to say.
But how long will it last, though?
Exactly. I think it'll last like
a
month or two.
Will we see the Ben Simmons who put up 46 against Defensive Player of the Year?
I think he's done.
I don't think he could if he wanted to. Right.
Yeah, I think that's over. I think he'll be a good contributor, but I don't think he's going to be what he was.
So you think he's never going to be that superstar player like people thought he was going to be, like LeBron? Mm-mm. You think he's more closer to a Draymond type now?
Yeah, without 1,000%.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see that. The Nets make a lot of sense.
So what's your pretender?
My pretender, that's a good question. So my pretender is your contender.
Really?
Yeah, the Cavs. I don't believe in the Cavs at all. I just like after what we saw with the Knicks series, like, I just think their offseason additions wasn't enough. Like, they got more stretch bigs and, like, added to the stretch wings, like with George Niang and Max Strus, as you said. But Damian Jones and Ty Jerome, it just doesn't move the needle for me.
But the thing is, those players, they had a great starting five. They needed that wing player.
They needed some bench, yeah.
I think Max Strus will be a better wing player than Caris LeVert because it's just more shooting and, more consistency.
But we saw it later. He just completely flamed out. And, like, he's going to have those games where he's just not there.
Max Strus?
Yes, Max Strus.
But you're looking at the Miami Heat where he was a top two or three contributor on that team. You look at the Cavs. I mean, you got Donovan Mitchell. You got Darius Garland.
That's
a
fair point, yeah.
Like, he's going to be used.
Gonna do less work.
Yeah. So it's going to be – it's going to be more like
room
like,
shots.
Yeah.
Okay. I see what you're saying. I still think they have an issue with Jared Allen and I just feel like there has to be like, I think at some point, I honestly do believe at some point down the line, they're going to trade one of them. I just think the reason I think if they don't get past the second round this year, Donovan Mitchell's gone. I think he's going to New York.
I think signing that contract extension was just, it's too early just to trade him after a year or two. So I think they're going to wait out the year until it's on his last year of the deal.
Mm.
Or
I mean, Cleveland's definitely.
If something just destroys, like if the locker room is just destroyed, then yeah, I could see it. But after 1 year with him, they're not going to trade him after another. So yeah, I don't see it.
Cleveland's going to do all they can to make sure he stays and like doesn't change his mind. But I just think at the end of the day, at some point, this team is not going to be enough and Donovan Mitchell's going to walk out the door. I mean, no offense, but it's Cleveland in terms of like.
Yeah, I mean,
like NBA lifestyle.
First of all, who wants to go to Ohio in general? So
yeah,
sorry to all the Ohio listeners.
Not that they don't know Ohio at all, but I wasn't biased. Any Alabama biased at all, but we'll see what happens. I just, like I said, they're an interesting team to keep an eye on.
And then one under the radar, right?
Yeah, and so if you have your under the radar team that you really like,
I do.
Before we go to break,
we mentioned them. It's the Oklahoma City Thunder. I think I really enjoyed what they did.
Yeah.
I love the young talent they got. I love Josh Giddey. I love Shea. I love both Jalen Williams. I love the Cason Wallace pick. I think that was a great pickup. He showed a lot in the summer league. Chet Holmgren, I'm not a big fan of, but I think he'll just be a good addition to that team because it's Chet Holmgren. I know it's not my favorite. I think Lou Dort's a great defender. I think Isaiah Joe, Sixers legend, great sharpshooter.
Another thing you look at and be like, why did we let that player go?
Yeah, it's Trey Mann's great. I like what's his name? Oh, Keontae Johnson. I think he's gonna be a good pickup. I think that team is just loaded with young talent, and they got more and more and more and more picks where they could honestly trade for some kind of superstar and make that team a super team all of a sudden.
Yeah, I mean, they're young enough. They have the cap space. And if they're competitive, they're really competitive, and they're really well coached as well. I think their coach doesn't get a lot of credit. Mark, I don't know how you say that last name. I think it's like
I'm not going to try.
It starts with a D, but I'm just going to call him Mike D. Mike D. But he's a great coach, and I like that pick. I really do. Sawyer, do you have an under the radar team that you're really looking at?
The Timberwolves.
Okay.
I don't think they're going to shock the world. I don't think they're going to do anything special. I think people are underestimating them though. I think if you take Cat and you take Gobert, and you put him down there, and you have Conley and Edwards running up top, I just think they're going to do things that people don't think they're going to. Nothing special, nowhere far in the playoffs, but I think they're going to crack further than maybe they would have last year.
Are you saying this more because of the growth you've seen out of Anthony Edwards?
Mm, right.
I like the growth of that Anthony Edwards, but Rudy Gobert is just – Rudy Gobert. He – provides nothing to the basketball court besides a little bit of rim protection.
Yeah,
I say a little bit, but he's one of the best rim protectors we've seen in a long time. But still, he no lateral quickness where he can't defend anywhere outside of the paint. No offensive game whatsoever. Just not a big fan of Rudy.
I just don't like both of them. I don't like either of their contracts that go alongside Anthony Edwards. I think that maybe they could do better, but. We'll see what happens with the Timberwolves side of things. My under-the-radar team, just real quick, the Kings.
I mean, not
really surprising,
right.
But I think they could be a contender this year. I like what they did in the offseason. They added some vets, Nerlens Noel, JaVale McGee, and Chris Duarte. So nothing big, but I'm expecting big things this year.
Yeah.
But with that being said, we're going to go to break real quick, and we'll be right back. You are listening to the Student Section on WVUA 9.7 The Capital.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
And we are back. You are listening to the Student Section MBA on WVUA 90.7 The Capstone. Now, we were just talking about our contenders and pretenders in the NBA. Now, we're going to go ahead and move on to the this past offseason.
Yeah, and the what our winners and losers of free agency.
Yeah, so I think there's been. I think this offseason actually was kind of crazy in a lot of different
ways.
It was crazy. So let's go ahead and talk about our free agency's winners and losers. And Connor, why don't you kick us off?
All right. So my free agency winner, as much as it pains me to say this, is the Los Angeles Lakers. I think they did a lot of good things.
Wow.
Retaining their players like Austin Reeves, who I think showed a lot of promise last year. Rui Hachimura, who I think really had a good year last year, especially a good playoff series. They drafted Jalen Hood-Schifino, who I was really high on, out of what? I think it was Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's a really good pickup. Torian Prince, we were talking about, I think he is a good pickup, a great guy just to have on the court, good scrappy energy guy. You know, Gabe Vincent, I think, is a good pickup. He was electric with the
I think
Miami Heat.
Very underrated and low-key signing.
Very underrated, yeah. It was one of those ones where it popped up on my phone. I was like, geez,
and
they got Gabe Vincent.
It's one of those – he's one of those players that's it's not the – you're not blown away by
it. It's not
signing,
a big name.
But you know how dangerous that could be for the team like the Lakers, especially mm-hmm. because he fits the mold of a guard that can play a song along with
LeBron.
Yeah. That perfect.
He's just a shooter.
Yeah. And, that's exactly what they need, more shooters around, LeBron and now Anthony Davis, who they want, apparently, to play,
mm-hmm.
or he wants to play more power forward, but, you know, that's always the issue.
Yeah, I'm also high on Jackson Hayes, who they also got the center out of, who was it with New Orleans last year. I think he's a very crazy athletic freak. I think he's very raw, but some of the dunks and some of the blocks he had last couple seasons were crazy.
If they can just get him to be a role, certain role mm-hmm. player for big, so AD can play that four spot, I think that would be huge, like you said.
Yeah, and then the last, I think, big good signing was Christian Wood. Happened yesterday.
Yeah, last minute.
I think there's been reports about him being a problem in the locker room and not having the best kind of attitude.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's just because he was a part of sorry franchises like Detroit, like Dallas, like stuff like that where they're not really winning.
Trust the Process Sixers, too.
Trust the Process Sixers.
So it started off rough.
It's a lot of bad teams who don't really win a lot. And I want to say maybe going to the Lakers with LeBron, AD, and a bunch of talent with Darvin Ham and stuff like that. I think maybe he'll buy into it and actually accept the role. I think he'll be a good piece off the bench. I don't think he'll start. The only player that I'm like, ugh, to that signing last year was Cam Reddish.
Yeah, that's a...
He's never been good, in my opinion. I mean, he was good in Duke. I think he got drafted way too high coming out of the... going to Atlanta. Never played in Atlanta. Got traded. Played a couple games for New York. Was terrible. Then he got traded from New York to the Portland Trailblazers and couldn't even crack their rotation. And when he did, he was god-awful. So,
do you think it's any coincidence that before he signed with the Lakers, Cam Reddish signed a 2-year deal with Clutch Sports?
Yeah, I think there's a little bit of a coincidence, just, you know, LeBron effect and stuff like that. But I want to see how Cam Reddish does under the wings of some of these players like D'Angelo Russell, LeBron, players like that. But Cam Reddish is one of those players where I saw him pop up. I was like, huh, he went to the Lakers.
Yeah.
But. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's my winner.
These are a lot of guys with huge upside and huge potential.
Exactly, yeah.
And they could revive their careers. Yeah, I'm excited to see what they do. I really am. Sawyer, do you have any free agency winners?
No, but I have a loser.
Okay. We're going to get right back to the losers. Let me give
go back to Jalen then.
Let me give you my winner real quick. So my winner is going to be the Dallas Mavericks.
Okay.
I think you got Kyrie in. You re-signed Kyrie, so that puts a little pressure on the Luka situation for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully, you know, I think Kyrie is going to be a little bit more focused this year. I can't promise that, just, you know, based on his record. But I think Kyrie is going to be more locked in this year. I think Luka's looking slimmer. he's going off, and like, well, before Slovenia got eliminated, he was doing wild things. I actually saw, I don't know if you guys noticed, but in those like highlight tapes across, like, you know, from the World Cup, he was working the offense in the corner. He was just staying in the corner. The ball didn't touch him the whole couple possessions. Like, he's just been the spot up man. And I feel like if that comes back over to the Mavericks, because I think last year,
he didn't have the ball in his hand, he was pretty ineffective.
I think I read a stat that he had the ball in his hand like high 70s percentage of the time for that team, which is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, that's like what they needed to win. But you look at who they signed, Seth Curry, that gives them a little bit more spacing. I think postseason that might give them a little trouble defensively.
I think, yeah, defensively that'll give them trouble. They're already not a great defensive team. And signing Seth Curry, who provides great spacing and great shooting, so weak on the defensive side of the ball.
But Jason Kidd, who's really good at throwing in zone defenses every now and then, I think he's going to find out a couple ways to maybe hide that. Dante Exum, maybe not the best like name out there, but a little bit of death, I like it. Rashawn Holmes, I think, is very underrated with the Kings. Derrick Jones Jr., he's agreed to a one-year deal. Dwight Powell is, I think, I read a stat that Dwight Powell might be the longest, not the longest tenured Maverick, but like, actually, since he's been drafted, I think, is he the only, like, yeah, I think.
I think he's like the longest tenured Mav, like.
To date.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's still on the team. Not all the time, but today.
Yeah, no.
Which is crazy to think about.
It's weird because you would think there would be someone they actually had that was worthy enough to keep or try to keep.
Right.
But, you know, you look at the roster and it's Dwight Powell.
Yeah, but he's hanging in there, man.
He's doing something right, I guess.
Recovering from that ACL, and he's going to be back, re-signed, so that's good for him.
Yeah.
And one of the huge things I'm huge on is Grant Williams. I think Grant Williams.
I think Grant Williams was a great pickup.
Yeah, I think he's going to be really big for this team. I think Kyrie's going to love him. I think Luka's going to love him. He's going to be that. He's going to be that like Patrick Beverley type, but not like he's not as like in your face as Pat Bev. But you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, no, I understand. He's going to be the guy that tries to get under the skin. He's going to guard the best player. That's what he did. I want to say he held his own against Joel Embiid, but he was big enough. Yeah,
before he took that, you know, foot to the face and got stepped on. I give him credit for.
I give it credit. The one thing I will never forget is when Jimmy Butler and Grant Williams were going back and forth. And I guess you could really say Grant Williams gave the Heat the win, basically, just by chirping him.
Yeah, Jimmy just was like, all right, let me remind you.
You're like, okay, let's just end this right now.
Yeah, just let me remind you real quick on who I am. I think it was so funny, too. Also, just like he had a rough year last year, just in general. Just that, getting hit in the face, the playoff series with the Miami Heat. And then, like, that famous clip, I'll make both of them. I'll make both of them. Just breaks both.
Yeah.
Absolutely hilarious. But I think, like, a guy like that who's just funny on accident, it doesn't even try to be funny, is going to be great for that team, especially a team that's been – seems like it's been having a lot of drama, like, just on its own and through its players. But now let's get to the losers.
So before I say my loser, I just want to say the only thing that worries me about the Kyrie and Luka situation is since they've been together, they're only 5-11 when they actually play together. So maybe they can actually mesh. I know it was a very just random time when they just got thrown into the fire together and had to figure it all out.
And they're both dealing with injuries too.
Yeah. Hopefully they can, like, you know, work it out. But it doesn't look great as of last year.
Well, let me ask you this. A lot of people say, except for defensively, a lot of people say Luka's pretty much plays like LeBron, right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't think they could figure it out?
I think he's more of a James Harden than LeBron, the way he plays his offensive game. Luka.
Okay. I understand. Oh, for like, being so ball dominant.
Yeah, ball dominant. He's heavy on the step backs and bad shot selections that somehow go in.
I actually like that comparison a lot.
He's a great passer, but it's not like the easy passes, the passes that you should make, like rotations or stuff like that. It's you beat your man or something, someone bites, and then you kick out. That's basically most of his assists. So
step back.
Yeah, I would say it's not as close to LeBron as to James Harden, in my opinion.
That makes sense.
So for my loser, it hurts to say this, but it's the Philadelphia 76ers with just the way they handled the whole Harden situation.
What is going on, man?
All the players they lost this year. I mean, you lost George Niang. You lost Jaden McDaniels, right? Not Jalen.
Yeah, you're right.
Is it Jalen? It's one of the McDaniels.
Jaden.
Who we Which traded for.
I don't remember.
Yeah, no. We traded for during the deadline. He's
second-round pick, too.
We gave up a second-round pick. He's a lot of potential. Very athletic.
We traded Isaiah Joe to make room for him, I'm pretty sure.
I think we cut Isaiah Joe.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, so
that's what I meant.
I don't like getting rid of McDaniels. George Niang, we lost George Niang. He honestly was one of the heart and souls of our team. Great three-point shooter. You go in, sign Mo Bamba, who couldn't play last year with the Lakers. Montrezl Harrell, who
tore his ACL.
He just did tear his ACL. I mean, you got Patrick Beverley. I like the Patrick Beverley pickup. I do.
That's like literally the only thing I liked from this offseason.
Yeah.
Danny Green is like, okay, cool.
Yeah, Danny Green happened. I was like, okay, whatever. James Harden is threatening not to play. I think P.J. Tucker's on James Harden's side right now.
Yeah, he is.
They so I'm like, what's going on?
They both didn't show up to Joel Embiid's wedding. I think that's a pretty telltale sign that like that sends a message. I'm not saying that they're not friends or anything.
No,
Like, it's just like he knows like a lot of the
I like that we retained Paul Reed. I do. I like the Nick Nurse signing a lot.
Yeah.
I think Jaden Springer is going to develop really well.
We have 13 assistant coaches.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It's wild. I think the Terquavion Smith, the undrafted rookie, is going to be really good. I think we had one more. Ricky Council. I think he would be a good two-way player. I really do. I think we have a lot of young talent that's very
– raw.
Raw, yeah. Exactly. So it depends on how they develop. But I think we could be good. We can just work something out with James Harden, either trade him or
– I'm not going to lie. I personally want him gone.
I want him gone.
I'm so done with this. I'm so done with these superstars wanting out.
Yeah.
I'm so done. I just want to be a fan again. I can't,
exactly.
You know,
I would like him to either to buy in and actually want to play and buy into his role, or just get out of here because I don't want you pouting and say, "Oh, blah blah blah." I missed the All Star. Like you saw the All Star stuff, right?
Yeah.
I'm just okay.
When he opted in too, he opted in to be back with his
team.
So
I don't know why. If you wanted a new contract so bad, why would you opt in?
Yeah, he definitely saw the market and was like, "Oh, I'm gonna opt in," and then like. Because he definitely didn't see the offers. Like he was definitely baiting that Houston. Because we've been hearing reports ever since the start of last year that he was wanting to go back to Houston. And then when he goes back to Houston, or like tested the market for Houston's no longer interested because they hired Ime Udoka.
Yeah.
Ime Udoka says I do not want James Harden back in Houston because I just don't think he's going to be good for these young players.
And I completely agree with that.
And I do too. I get why they did it. I still think James Harden's a great teammate, but I think he is a little bit of a, you know, if this was the NFL, like the wide receiver drama queen, like all about like kind of me, like kind
yeah.
of stuff. And like apparently, his biggest issue with last year in the postseason is he wanted to be the number one option, which. I can see, which makes sense, you know, Embiid coming back from injury. But at the same time, you didn't deliver when you were the number one option.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I think that game one, the Celtics, was probably his best game.
Game one, and I think it was either game three or game four.
He had a couple corner shots that were huge.
Yeah, he had 2 40-point games in that Celtics series. Yeah. But you can't go from 2 40-point games to 5-7, whatever.
They both give up.
Yeah.
Joel Embiid and Harden both give up.
It's whatever. All right. Enough of the Sixers.
The pain. Yeah. We don't have to talk about them anymore. But I will say, if I can make a hot take, they're doing something. They're doing something. I don't know what it is, but Daryl's cooking, and I don't know. Let me not get too excited before like.
Don't get too excited because it's not going to happen.
You're entirely right. Sawyer, you made the right choice. Celtics, I don't know, though. But who's your loser?
I got the Magic.
Okay.
They re-signed Joe Ingles.
Yeah.
Which.
Joe Ingles, yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
His career, I think he averages 8 points.
Yeah. He was such a great defender until that knee injury.
Yeah. I really loved him on the Jazz. I think he was a great 3-point shooter. He was a really good defender.
Yeah.
Sneaky defender. Right? He looked like a 40-year-old man who could move.
He really angered Paul George.
That's another thing. He's, 31, 35 now?
Yeah, I don't know. I think he's up there.
He's definitely late 30s.
Now they
or early
Moritz Wagner returns on it too. I like that.
Okay.
Okay.
Keeps the brothers together.
I think that he can do what he needs to do when it counts, when it matters.
Yeah, he's a key role player. I like that.
But Joe, I just think that was terrible on their part.
I'm really high on Franz Wagner though. Like
I am too.
Like we saw him. I don't know.
Right.
Germany beat USA the other day, but you know. Franz Wagner was a huge part of that too, not just Schroeder, but
I think that some of the Magic is definitely fun to watch.
Yeah, Paolo's fun to watch. Paolo's gonna be.
I
really
think
good.
He's just electric. It's fun to watch. It sucks to watch the end. They can't ever piece it together.
Jalen Suggs, that he's gonna be crucial in like that team's future. How do we feel about their rookies though? Like honestly,
Who are their rookies?
Anthony Black, I think.
I like Anthony Black.
Anthony's good.
Yeah, he's a weird player to me.
Jet Howard.
I like Jet's jump shot. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think
these are role players.
They're Orlando rookies.
Yeah.
So they're not someone that you expect to come in and make a huge difference, but
I think they're gonna make a plan though. I'll tell you that. That'll be my hot take. I think they're gonna make the plan.
Interesting.
I think Paolo's gonna be, and I love Cole Anthony. I'm high. If he can stay healthy, and if Jalen Suggs can come through, I think that team can be dangerous. Real quickly, though, my loser, it's actually going to be really quick, is the Milwaukee Bucks. They didn't really do anything.
Yeah.
They signed Giannis's youngest brother, and then they cut him like 2 days later. And then they signed Malik Beasley to a one-year deal. Jay Crowder, who said he didn't even know his role last year and was kind of disgruntled, comes back to a one-year deal. A.J. Green agrees to a deal. Brooke Lopez returns. He kind of bamboozled the Rockets, which I'm all in favor for. You know, go
right.
I'm a huge Brooke Lopez fan. Chris Middleton, they were forced to give him that big contract. Yeah, like, they didn't really have anything else. Drew Holiday says when his contract retires, contract's up, he's retiring.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of believe that, just knowing what his family's been through, all the personal health issues and health scares. So it wouldn't surprise me. And Giannis just the other day just said, he's not committed to the future, and
that's scary. Yeah. As your superstar, player.
Yeah, right. So I think he might be looking at the Knicks a little bit across. I think Giannis wants that spotlight. He wants that crown. And what better way to do that than by bringing the Knicks?
But it's the Knicks,
exactly. And I think you don't think Giannis has that mindset to go out and get it.
I mean, yeah, he could, but it's the Knicks.
That is true, but I just think like he has that Kobe moment mentality, and he's willing to put everything on the line to do it if the Bucks aren't willing to, go out their way. But with that being said, we're going to go back to another break, and we'll be back with part 3 of our show. You're listening to the Student Section on WVUA 90.7, the Capstone.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
And welcome back. You're listening to the Student Section, MBA. And we're going to go ahead and get started with our last and final segment of the night. This is an interesting topic now that's been more, in the public eye as of recently, thanks to track star Noah Lyles. And I think it's kind of interesting to talk about this just because the United States national basketball team, sorry to say, took the loss last night against Germany with a score of 113-111. So with that being said, for those who don't know about Noah Lyles' comment, does anybody like Sawyer, do you want to kind of give us a rundown of what he said and where you lie with his, like, on what he said?
I believe a reporter asked him, I think it was something like, what do you think about being the champion of the world or NBA champion of the world?
Yes.
And he responded with...
World champion of what?
Champion of what?
Yeah.
Which I agree with, because I believe to make it into the United States NBA team,
okay,
you have to go through selective processes.
Right.
Okay. And a lot of processes that are not friendly to those who haven't had equal opportunity.
A little bit biased is what you're saying. Yeah.
Right. Okay. And to say that they are put on the greatest stage, I get it. But there's also, we just lost last night.
Yeah, to Germany.
So we can't be the greatest in the world.
But then again, it is the World Cup. And I kind of have the opposite take of what you're saying, and I get what you're coming from and where Noah Lyles is coming from, because to me it sounds like Noah Lyles is being kind of technical about this.
Yeah,
and I get that and what he's saying, but to what you just said, they lost to Germany last night, but this is where I stand on that. It's the World Cup. The U.S. doesn't send its premier players, like not its absolute best players. Mm-hmm. Like it's not KD, it's not Jimmy Butler, it's not Dame, it's guys like, I'm trying to think of who's a perfect example.
Walker Kessler.
Exactly.
Paolo Banchero.
Yeah. It's just like, I like Paolo.
Austin
like,
which is a boss. Reeves. Yeah, he's
exactly.
a boss.
Exactly. It's just like, those aren't the best players that we could send from, like, the United States. But I will say, and also, Germany's best players, some of their best players are in the NBA, like
Dennis Schroeder, Franz Wagner. Like that's, yeah,
they played key minutes. Like even though they weren't like maybe I don't think they were the high scorer for their team, but they literally everything their offense rotated on what they did. I could be wrong on that, Connor. If you could double check me on the high scorer, but I want to say another thing is the thing with Germany is
Daniel Theiss.
Was it?
No. I'm just saying he also played.
Oh yeah.
Daniel Theiss had 21. Franz Wagner had 22. Dennis Schroeder had 17. But this guy, Obst, had 24. So
he was their highest scorer. But like this, you just saw that's like three NBA players who definitely were a big piece of like what just happened. But also, those guys have been playing together for a long time,
their whole lives.
That's what I'm saying. Like they know the chemistry. Like these USA teams are just thrown together.
Yeah, they just get put together with some random coach.
Yeah, and it's just like, it's like
that's fair.
Yeah, it's just like, and it's like. Like you said, like last year, like Popovich, when he was in charge, didn't he put that Spurs player, Keldon Johnson, like over like, who did he like leave off? He was like Trae Young, Kyrie Irving, like just names that like, it was just a whole lot.
Yeah.
And like, it just didn't make sense. But I understand like where you're coming from and I understand no one else's point. But
I will say when you go to Germany, you think of Germany. What do you think about? You think about soccer.
Soccer,
not basketball.
That's Oktoberfest. You know.
I think that a lot of people from around the world come here because the NBA is top three in our sports that we watch.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I guess, yeah. For me personally, I feel like there's, I kind of agree with both points. I think there's a lot of unknown talent around the world that lead to, you know, teams like Germany, like the Ops guy, like you would have never heard of him if he didn't play in the NBA. But at the same time, people are saying, oh, United States lost. That means they don't have the talent. You think we're going to send LeBron James, Kevin Durant? Yeah. Like, if we send them, we're killing them. Like, it's that simple. I think it's not the best.
And, like, for someone like LeBron, who's been in the finals for, like, 8 straight years, and then, he's tired. He wants to chill.
Let's take a look at the difference between a FIBA World Cup and the Olympic basketball team. Because the Olympic basketball team, they actually have real NBA stars, and none of those games are close at all. They're all destroying these opponents. But you send second-year players or players that don't play. Bobby Portis was on this team, and he's a contributor.
Yeah, that was a
– So it's
– I don't get I don't know who they're reaching out to.
I mean, I feel like a lot of players turn it down because we don't need it, you know,
But to your point, though, like real quick, if I can speak on like them sending young players, like Jaren Jackson Jr. is a prime example. Steve Kerr literally said in the press conference, I love like his defensive presence, but Jaren has got to learn, Triple J has got to learn to stop going for everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then Triple J responded like, all due respect to Steve Kerr, but I'm going to go for everything. Well, he fouled out.
Yeah, he fouls out all the time.
And like and that's a big like that's like the like I don't want to say ignorance, but the to not be able to just take a step back and be like, okay, this is the role I have to play for this stage. I think it's different. Like Brandon Ingram is struggling for a reason because he's not a mellow type. Just he's not used to that mellow Olympic role where it's just catching three shoot. He's used to having the ball in his hand and scoring. And I just think that loss last night doesn't really speak to, like, the USA's talents.
Yeah, I'm just going to read the roster for this team. Jalen Brunson, who is a good player. He's a really good player. Is he one of the top players in the league? I wouldn't say he's, like, a top 10, top 15 player, no.
Would you still take him over Trae Young, though? That's like,
I would, yeah.
That's why I said that, too.
Whoa. I would take him over Trae Young.
Yeah, it's
just efficiency-wise.
That's
Trae
also
Young.
A conversation I saw online on Twitter, but I kind of agree with it.
I would take Jalen Brunson over Trae Young. You have Jaren Jackson Jr., who I get, the reigning defensive player of the year. Anthony Edwards, up-and-coming star, I get that.
He's the guy. He was literally probably one of the youngest players, and he was the guy.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Josh Hart.
That's just a role player.
He's a role player. Mikal Bridges, he's an upcoming star, but I wouldn't still consider him a top player like that. Walker Kessler, who was just a rookie, who, I mean, he had a good rookie year, I will say, but I wouldn't consider him anywhere near a top.
I was surprised he was on the roster.
Top player, exactly. Bobby Portis, he's a role player. I don't know why he's on this roster. Tyrese Haliburton, up-and-coming star.
I like Tyrese on the
team. I like Tyrese. Yeah. Paolo Banchero, I like him. Up-and-coming star. Austin Reeves, up-and-coming star. Brandon Ingram, he barely played.
Is Austin Reeves just like Tyrese Maxey, basically, for the Lakers? kind of.
Low-key, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Cam Johnson.
Like, that's an interesting. Like, I don't even think, like, he could be a star, but I just think he's a better role player.
I don't think he would be a star.
I'm saying, like, a third option on the team, like, that kind of, like, a Tobias Harris.
Yeah.
That's the role I see him. Like, that's.
All I'm trying to say is I get what he's trying to say.
Right.
I get that there's a lot of unknown talent and stuff like that. But if you're the best of the best, Nikola Jokic, you're not going to stay in Serbia or whatever, where he's from. If you're Luka Doncic, you're not going to stay wherever you're from. You're going to go to the United States and play basketball there because that's where all the media attention is. All the best players are going to go to the place with the most attention, which means it's the best of the best playing. Granted, yes, I agree. There's some talent overseas that would kill some NBA talent. But you're telling me if we send Steph Curry, Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, LeBron James, Anthony Davis, Kevin Durant, players like this, we would not beat every team by 70 points?
It's a fair point.
I'm just trying to say that. It's a coincidence that we lost around the same time Noah Lyles said this, but
yeah, and
let's not act like we're sending our best players out there.
Yeah, that's the only thing that I guess really I don't get from this conversation. It's just like why people are just totally discrediting like the USA. And
I guess he comes from a completely different perspective as well, which I didn't really think about. He's never competed in this sport.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the sport he does compete in, it really does differ from each country.
And that's what I'm saying. But he has, don't get me wrong, I'm not a huge track guy, but doesn't he have like all year to train for that?
Exactly. Well? Like it's the same thing every time. There's not going to be any kind of like foul trouble. There's not going to be any hiccups.
Yeah.
There's not going to be any getting underneath the skin. There's not going to be any worrying about the refs and how the rules work if it's called differently each game.
And he's not playing 80 games a season.
No, it's one race.
Yeah.
So
or more.
Yeah, I Noah Lyles is a great athlete. I don't want to sound like bashing him.
He's a great athlete, one of the best in the world, if not the best in the world. Like,
but this is just, it's blasphemy, I feel like.
I think it's a little bit of an asinine comment, but, you know.
Honestly, I was on both sides at the beginning, but I'm more on
I'm
the side.
I'm seeing it more now.
I don't agree with him at all. I don't agree with him.
It's persuaded you a little bit?
You definitely have.
I will say that you actually, to your point as well, I think you've kind of like opened my eyes a little bit on where he's coming from. But it's just like it's an interesting thing. Like I also think like a lot of people, I'm not huge into soccer.
Yeah.
But when I talk to a lot of soccer fans, they kind of break it down to me like how there's like a lot of soccer teams or making clubs. And then I guess, have you seen Ted Lasso?
I've seen the first season, yeah.
You know how like basically explain like they go down?
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, I think it's like something like that. And like they were trying to like relate it to that. And like when they mentioned that, I was like, okay, well, that's just a whole different perspective from what I was seeing it as.
Right.
Like, so I get where people are coming from, but like at the same time, the NBA is literally the best.
It's
made up of the best players in the world.
You go there to play the best players.
Yeah.
It's what it is.
Right.
The U.S. has been the best for the last 2 decades, 3 decades. Something's not going to – I mean, I do agree that competition is getting better. I will say.
Yeah.
We can clearly see right now.
The best players right now are – probably overseas.
Yeah, they're probably overseas.
Embiid,
but
Doncic, Jokic.
It's only a handful.
Chai.
Yeah, no, I say each country has their great player who I think is amazing. And you look at the U.S. and if we put the best of the best, it's all superstars.
Yeah,
so
I agree with you.
I think the best players right now are probably mostly all like outside of the U.S. But there's just more cultivation, more growth, more opportunity, more, I'm trying to figure out the word to say, just options for talent.
If I could ask Noah Lyles one question and about anything about the NBA, I would go up to him and be like, Noah, who would you say right now is the best player in the world in the NBA? And that alone, I'd be like, why do we call him the best player in the NBA? Because you hear it all the time. LeBron is the best player in the NBA. I mean, in the world, I'm sorry. LeBron is the best player in the world. Like, Steph Curry is the best player in the world. Luka Doncic is the best player. Like, there's a reason these people say it in the media. Like, because everyone's aware that that's the status of like the NBA. It's the best players,
ever.
So, I just think that argument's a little crazy, but I completely understand it. But, I don't know. I think it made for a really great debate. It was really cool to see Twitter popping off on that.
Yeah,
right.
I did love to see NBA Twitter and all the NBA players.
Exactly.
You'd be like, what is he talking about?
Drake coming in out of nowhere, just be like, dude thought he was nice or like something. Like, I don't know. It's just so random. It was funny to wake up to, but so with that being said, I kind of want to ask you guys one more question just before we get it off the air. Is there anything you're excited to see for this NBA season? Anything, any closing remarks?
I'm kind of really interested to see how the in-season tournament plays out this year. Want to see how it just works, because we've never seen something like this before in the NBA. I'm talking about where you're in the middle of a season and out of nowhere you just have some random tournament that I can't remember what the true like rewards are. I know it's money and stuff like that, but
I think you get like, isn't it like higher? I can search it up real quick.
I don't know.
I thought it was like a higher seating for like home court.
It might be. It's just part of it feels like it's a money grab and it's unnecessary for the injury of players. But at the same time, it does go towards the record, so it's not really unreasonable. So yeah. It's. I want to see how it plays out. That's all I want to say.
Which I get, and then it is. Do you think it's gonna raise the competition? Like, so it's basically, if you want me to go through just really quick, it's like all 30 teams have been randomly drawn into groups of five, mm-hmm. based on a conference of a win loss record. From the 22 and 23 season. One game against each opponent in its group, with two games at home and two on the road. So it's basically kind of like a playoff series. There's knockout rounds. Eight teams will advance to the knockout rounds, and these teams with the best standing in the group play games of each of the six groups will be the two wild cards. So it's basically just like you said, like, this is very much confusing, like, as I'm explaining it right now. It sounds
so
confusing.
I will say like halfway through the season, the season kind of does get a little boring. There's not a lot of competition some nights. It's a 40 point blowout and you rest all your players in the third quarter. So I get what they're trying to do, make it more entertaining, making more just
it seems
popular,
like,
I guess. But
it seems like this is kind of taking in place of division, like, because, you know, they don't really count division stuff anymore.
Yeah, division,
it's kind of gone. They kind of phased out of that. So I feel like this is kind of replacing, because this is what it's saying, like, there's different groups. So like in the Eastern Conference, Group A is Sixers, Cavs, Hawks, Pacers, Pistons. Group B is Bucks, Knicks, Heat, Wizards, Hornets. C is Celtics, Nets, Raptors, Bulls, Magic. So it's like, sounds kind of like the setup of like a division like matchup, and like they're just playing it like, you know, like, mm-hmm. So basically, like, they're going to have the best teams of that group are going to be playing, like, the record, the worst and best records of that group. And then they'll advance, and there'll be that winner of that group, and those group winners will play, like, the next group in the knock, wild card, and knock. It's, but, like you said, I don't know.
I just have to see how it worked. That's all I have to say.
Yeah, so it's basically, like you said, it's all based on money, and the winners, they're going to get more. That team's going to get more money for its players and, like, allocations, and I guess that means, like, whatever they decide to put it into, whether it be the arena or fans or whatever. But, mm-hmm. Sawyer, you have anything you're super excited about for the season?
No, I'd have to agree with that. Yeah. I feel like that has to be the one. I feel like it's going to be, like you said, kind of a mid-season pick-me-up.
Yeah.
Almost, I feel like it's going to be a little bit of a preview for All-Star stuff.
It could be, yeah. I feel like it could be like a playoff preview, low-key, just to see where teams are at.
And to test where they need to match up, where they're weak at, probably.
Yeah.
Right before the trade deadline, right?
But I also agree that maybe it is a grab at money. Maybe it is kind of like a, how do we, like when you're saying that mid-season kind of wake me up, maybe it is trying to get people to stick with the whole season,
mm-hmm.
more viewership.
Yeah, I think that's probably makes the most sense, but we'll see what happens. It's going to be an interesting season, and we're going to have a whole lot more to talk about later as we go on. So with this being said, we want to thank you guys for being with us and listening to the student section on WVUA 90.7. Connor, we're going to be doing student section NFL, right? On
Tuesday, yes.
On Tuesday, yep. So see you guys then.
Adios, adios, adios.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.